Good morning. It's the Ask the Pastor program on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for being with us. Thanks again to Pastor Stephen Tice from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Columbia, Illinois. Wow, lots and lots and lots of things in the news today. Lots of things in the news today. You know, even on the front page of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. It's the local newspaper, but you know, ever since the bird died, I don't seem to have much use for it. Even on the Post-Dispatch's front page, they're talking about the papyrus that was found purporting that maybe Jesus was married. I'm always sort of shocked at that, Pastor Moore, that they wonder, you know, was Jesus, he is married, isn't he?
To his bride, the church.
Yeah, what's the shock there?
None whatsoever, but I'm not sure that's what the papyrus is suggesting.
Well, that's the point, I guess. Pastor Richard Moore serves at St. Martin's Lutheran Church in Winona, Minnesota, that place that's probably warmer than the rest of the state ought to be.
It is the Miami of Minnesota.
How is it today?
Actually, today is going to go up to about 65, they say.
Really?
Yeah, we're actually having a little bit of a cold snap. It's been warmer.
How have you been? You were off on a little vacation last time you were up for the road.
Yeah, the last time I was up, I was actually out celebrating, having a family reunion to celebrate my mother's 80th birthday.
Really? Congratulations to her.
Yeah, so that's where we are. I suppose I shouldn't be telling people what her name is, or what her age is, but, you know.
Well, too late now.
Kids are like that, you know. It's just between you and me and a few close friends.
If we had, you know, the fancy schmancy stuff that these bigger radios do, I'd have a dump button, and I could have just dumped that right out, and nobody would have known.
Yeah, but we don't want you to have a dump button. There might be an awful lot of silence when I'm on.
No, this is what makes for excellent radio, my friend. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. KFUO at KFUO.org. Can I start out with an apology? May I burden you with that?
Go for it.
I don't know if you saw the news this morning. Chick-fil-A was in the news again. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that this morning.
This is remarkably disappointing. And I was one of the guys that actually gave away some Chick-fil-A gift cards on the air and encouraged folks to go and stand in line and show some support for this company. They have done a mea culpa. They have thrown in the hat. They have given in, given up, and they have conceded to this alderman in the city of Chicago that they will no longer support any organization, political or otherwise, that opposes gay marriage.
Well, you know, you have now seen what political and economic pressure can do to a person who was standing on what I had believed, and I'm not sure because I don't know him, a scriptural understanding and a Christian witness.
Yeah.
The cross he was called on to bear was the pressure that was put upon him and the economic pressure that put upon his business, and he chose not to bear that cross.
Mm. Well, on the one hand, though, now not trying to be overly charitable here, because I am fairly aggravated that it went this way, because I think you might be able to approach this from a left and right-hand kingdom point of view, where in the left-hand kingdom, they do have a fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders and those who are in the ownership of that business, and if they're confronted with years and years and years and years of potential lawsuits and challenges to zoning restrictions and all sorts of political attention, you know, possibly it could hurt the business to the point where it might even put them out of business, and maybe they made a business decision, not a theological decision here. But what aggravates me as pastor, that once they jumped into it, then I think they were obligated to stick with it.
Well, I would agree with that. And the other side of that is, where exactly in Scripture do you see the distinction between what is morally correct when you're talking because of how it might affect your business and how it might not? When you look at St. Paul in Corinthians talking about whether or not to eat meat that was sacrificed to idols, I don't see that sort of distinction. What it says is, if what I'm going to do will harm my weaker brother, then it's better that I never eat meat again. So maybe, and I know I'm about to be viewed as an extremist, so just be prepared.
Well, come on in. The water's fine.
Ready? Okay. Maybe if Chick-fil-A went out of business over this, that's okay. It's part of my witness.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether he has shareholders or whether it was a family-owned corporation or how that works. Or maybe he as CEO would be dropped and then Chick-fil-A would go do something else. But as a Christian, I don't get to say, because it's business, my Christian values don't get connected.
Hmm. Well, you almost are saying, well, perhaps you are saying, don't let me put words in your mouth, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're saying life is theology.
Absolutely. If I'm compartmentalizing and saying, okay, church is Sunday, and it doesn't affect the rest of my life, then, hey, this is a waste of time. I'm going to go to lunch. You can talk to somebody else.
Well,
What's the point?
You're obviously not a baby boomer, because we do that all the time.
I am a baby boomer.
Then how have you broken the paradigm? How have you escaped from the entrapment of boxes?
It depends on the day. But nonetheless, either being a Christian makes a difference in your life or it doesn't. Either you're a witness or you're not. And I understand that we get weak and we make poor decisions, and I've been known to do that a couple times in my own lifetime. Okay, I got it, okay? But, like you said, once you have made it this big public witness that this is my position and this is why this is my position and why this is important, the damage done here is that the witness now is that Christians hold a strong moral standard right up until it affects their pocketbook, and then we don't care anymore. And the sad truth is that that might, in fact, be true of a majority of Christians in America.
Yeah. I start with this story, Pastor Moore, because, number one, I owe the apology because I, too, encouraged people to go and support Chick-fil-A.
Well, I don't think you owe an apology at all.
Really?
Not in the least. You took the information that was available. You took a person at their witness. How do I, you know, if we're going to go on
that's true. That's
if
true.
We're going to go on the, there's the possibility he's going to become a heretic or he's going to become, he's going to become somehow not biblically correct, so I won't support anyone. But, hey, no one should preach, no one should ever support a preacher. What guarantee do you have that he's not going to preach something wrong, make a mistake, or lose his mind and preach something other than salvation by faith?
But the reason I bring this up first is because we've been spending some time in some of the minor prophets the last couple of weeks, and today we got into Malachi. We're doing Malachi very quickly. First two chapters today, second two chapters tomorrow, and then we move on to other things next week. But today, I read this morning, and then having gone through the text of Malachi 1 and 2, this stinks of a polluted offering.
Absolutely. And by the way, if we're going to do prophets, you know, you look at all of the prophets. You can start with the majors and go to the minors. And if you look at it, how often does the Lord say, you know, I'm really not interested in your fulfilling the things that you have established as your obligations to me in worship if your life does not reflect that I am your God.
Now, here also we are presented with a problem, Pastor Moore, and that is this is not too different from the early church.
Mm-hmm.
That when oppression came and persecution came and some people didn't have as strong a witness as they should and then came back, what do you do with them?
Well, we have this wonderful thing called God's grace. That doesn't give me license to be stupid, but it does give me forgiveness once I've achieved the stupidity on my own, thanks.
505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Ready for some calls, Pastor Moore?
Absolutely.
All right, let's launch with Larry. You're up first with Pastor Moore. Go ahead.
Two things there, Roland and Pastor. First of all, Pastor, what about the verse that says, pertaining to the Chick-fil-A thing, Roland, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and, you know,
yeah, I think you and I are on the same page.
Wouldn't you think that's applicable?
Sure, we're on the same page.
Right.
You know, God is the God of my entire life, not just my spiritual life, and that includes my business. And if you know, we actually sing. You know, we're coming up on Reformation in the not too distant future. And take they our life, good fame, child and wife. Let these all be gone. They yet have nothing won, as long as it's not my business, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Secondly, you know, it's been reported in the news, right, Roland, that they found some inscription where they proclaim that Jesus said he had a wife. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that was on the front page of the Post, so it must be true.
I don't know if you're a baseball fan. I don't know if you're a baseball fan, Roland, but years ago, the San Francisco Giants had three outfielders, Felipe, Mateo, Matty, and Jesus. Jesus was spelled just like Jesus. I'm sure there's plenty of men in the world, Jesus, with the same spelling or Jesus. So it might not even have been the Jesus they want it to be. Could that be correct? Because we know from Scripture, Jesus didn't come here to procreate. He came to save.
Pastor Moore?
Well, you know, Larry, I've got you there. I agree. You know, it could be a different Jesus. It also could be that, you know, when the canon was set, there were all sorts of books that claimed to say all sorts of scrolls and manuscripts that claimed to say all sorts of things about Christ that were rejected because they were not God's word. But I'm relatively sure they didn't have a shredder.
Right. So well, you know, it couldn't be the Jesus that saved us from our sins, because we know for a fact that he wasn't married.
Well, I agree with that, but my point is that the fact that there is a manuscript that says, even if it said Jesus of Nazareth, born of the Virgin Mary, had a wife, and her name was Selma, okay?
Uh-huh.
If it has already been rejected in the first century, why finding a fragment of it 2,000 years later, does that change the truth?
Well, we're a lot smarter today. That's the problem. We're a lot smarter today, Pastor.
Yeah, it depends on how one defines smart.
That's a good point.
All right, thanks, Roland.
Thank you, Larry. Good to hear from you this morning. Also, always love it when they go to the baseball metaphors. That also helps as well. You know, the news report on this that comes out of the Christian Post, and like I said, it's on the front page of the Post-Dispatch and a lot of different places today. Here's one of the quotes from the professor who is working with this. She says, rather than the importance of the gospel of Jesus' wife, I'm sorry, excuse me, let me find my notes. Rather, it says, the importance of the gospel of Jesus' wife lies in supplying a new voice within the diverse chorus of early Christian traditions about Jesus that documents that some Christians depicted Jesus as married. I would probably offer up this. We wouldn't refer to them as Christians. We'd refer to them as heretics.
Well, yeah, and the other thing is, you know, the Lord is giving us a new voice on the truth of his son 2,000 years later so that we can have a more diverse understanding. I don't know. When I read Scripture, Christianity and God's Word seems to be exactly the opposite of diverse. It seems to be very exclusive. It says there is one way to heaven, and that is through Christ Jesus, his death and resurrection, our faith in the Son of God. Not in his wife, not in his kids, not in things that don't exist in Scripture, and not in diversity, not in inclusiveness of things that are specifically spoken against in Scripture.
Well, yeah, read the Minor Prophets. You'll find all about exclusivity and inclusivity.
Yeah.
You know, and what that actually means. You know, but this fragment is interesting because it's about the size of a bookmark. You know, I use a lot of paper in my job here, and I wind up reusing it for other things. And somebody might very well find a scrap of one of the news stories I've pulled off, and some thousand years from now go, look, what did they believe at that radio station? Don't think it directly applies.
That's why you need to shred.
That's right.
There will be no usable fragments.
Because there are no complete sentences on here. They're just phrases. And it says, not me, my mother gave to me, L-I, and they assume that means life. The disciples said to Jesus. Then it says, deny, Mary is worthy of it. Then it says, these are all fragments. This is just, you know, stacked up. Jesus said to them, my wife. Again, doesn't mean anything in particular. She will be able to be my disciple. Doesn't necessarily mean the woman referred to as the wife in the previous
line.
Sentence. Yeah. Let wicked people swell up. As for me, I dwell with her in order to, and then an image. Now, I mean, how can you extrapolate so much out of such nonsense?
It's really very simple. You come to the fragment with a conclusion that you're hoping to support.
Ah, there you go.
Then you connect what you see to what you hope to support. It is the way a majority, oh, and I'm going to get in trouble for that word, majority of, quote, biblical scholars, unquote, are approaching Scripture today. Since they do not accept that it is from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, the inspired, inerrant Word of God, that instead the majority of supposed Christian scholars are saying that Scripture contains the Word of God, then you have yourself the opportunity to determine what is and isn't the Word of God inside of Scripture, which allows for such things as support of something like homosexual marriage. Which, by the way, if you look at Scripture, marriage can't not only does it not exist in Scripture, by definition it can't exist. Because marriage has to be between one man and one woman if you're looking at how the Creator created marriage. So for a biblical Christian, that, you know, the should we vote for the amendment? Minnesota has an amendment in coming up, constitutional amendment, to define marriage as one man, a union of one man and one woman. You know, that's a no-brainer, because we're not asking you to limit the definition of marriage. We're asking you to acknowledge what has been the definition of marriage for the past, oh, I don't know, what, 6,000 years?
Something to that effect, yeah. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Before we go to Jan's call, let me do this, because I may not have done complete justice to the news story about Chick-fil-A. The audio, I apologize, took a few moments to load here, but now I have it. Let me play the news report. Well, apparently the news report doesn't want to play. How do you like that?
Well, I didn't think it played all that well to begin with.
I am vexed by demons daily. Let us go to the phones then and talk to Jan. Jan, good morning. You fill in the details that I can't do with the audio that won't work.
Well, I don't know what that audio was. I was
it was a news report out of all places, Chicago, sort of, you know, WGN, the news station up there, was sort of glorying in the fact that their alderman had won such a great victory for human rights, and, you know, now this little company, Chick-fil-A, will have to be respectful of all people, whereas before the assumption is they weren't. I don't know. But
I was calling because I know that Chick-fil-A is a family-held company. And, you know, I think about when Jesus tells his disciples something, and then he asks them if they understood everything, and he says, that's like a man who takes old and new things out of the storehouse. We have to be responsible for not only what our reputation is in the world, but our accountability to God. And I wasn't convinced that this was all about homosexuality. I remember that fast food restaurants were going to have to comply with the federal requirement to post their nutritional information.
I hate that. Life was so much better before that happened.
Well,
I didn't have to worry about stuff.
You know, it's like we were studying Malachi. You know, you know this in the back of your mind, but sometimes you need to be reminded of the responsibility that you have as a consumer, as well as a consumer of food. But another passage I was thinking about, we have the question of whether or not we, as Christians and as business people, can expect some preference based on us complying with what we know God's Word says. I'm thinking about that passage where he says, when you've done all that you were commanded, you say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. So, you know, are we inflating this mercantile concern run by Christians as an example or as, I don't know, motivation.
Well, Pastor Moore, jump in. I don't know if it's so much that we're inflating it as they put themselves in that position. What do you think, Pastor Moore?
Well, I guess I'm sorry, Jan. I'm somewhat confused as to the point you're making, that it's not an issue for Christians, or it should be. And when the passage that I thought of immediately was the one that Jesus says, you know, don't think I've come to bring peace. Don't, you know, don't think that the word that you speak, that the world is going to love you. The world's going to hate you. They hated me first.
Yeah, well, that much is true. And then, so, Chick-fil-A and this spokesperson for Chick-fil-A seemed to just disregard that and said, okay, this is my position, And because this is my position, I don't have to comply with whatever federal law is.
Well, see, I see. That's where I don't know that that's what was going on, because my understanding of this was that they weren't saying they won't comply with the federal law, and maybe I'm wrong because I didn't follow this all this closely, just that they were saying that, that he came out and publicly was opposed to the gay marriage notion as being a reasonable thing, and he stated that they don't view that as, you know, acceptable. And I'm sure that part of that, and maybe part of it, was the notion that if you accept gay marriage, then all of a sudden you have to start covering the people who are gay and, quote, married, unquote, though I don't think you can actually use that word.
Well, Pastor Moore, I spent a lot of time,
healthcare, et cetera.
I spent a lot of time on this story, and there were a number of news articles, both printed and video, where they went out and they found gay employees of Chick-fil-A. They didn't like the company's stand, but they certainly couldn't provide any evidence that the company had mistreated them in any way, shape, or form. So that really wasn't the issue. The issue, I think, is Chick-fil-A has deep pockets. And when they support a cause, you know, this was to cut off the funding, and that's what's happened now for the organizations that support traditional marriage.
Yeah,
that was the point here. They weren't violating any laws. They simply said, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord.
Right.
Until it becomes inconvenient.
Well, now we've seen that, yes.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. This person is glorifying God in his business. And I applaud that. But I really don't feel like that should give them some preference in the public square, and you know, that kind of irks me about I'm a Christian because it's true and because the Holy Spirit has led
right.
me to that truth, and it's true in the sense that he's warned me what costs are going to be associated with that. So why are people surprised when they have to pay?
Right.
Well, I'm with you there. That was my point.
Yeah, and that's sort of the irony in this. I agree.
Let's you know, if you're going to stand up and say, I am not in favor of this, and, you know, damn the torpedoes full speed ahead, then you don't backpedal that when all of a sudden, you know, a torpedo gets fired. It's like, that's going to happen, and, you know, you were doing the right thing for supposedly the right reason. If you're backing off that now, what is the rationale for that?
Yeah. And this is about the little shred. Galatians, it says, if I or anybody, even an angel, comes to you with a different gospel, let him be accursed. I really feel like we need to apply God's word to situations. And, you know, I'm talking about exegetical as opposed to ISO. And just know that He's already told us what's going to come.
Yeah, again, so, why the shock at all this?
Yeah.
Jan, thanks for the call. Uh-huh. Pastor Moore?
I'm fine with that. I was just looking up the passage that Jan had referred to, and from Matthew 9, starting at verse 15. How can guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, then they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunken cloth into an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst and the wine will run out. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. You know, we're not supposed to be looking for a gospel separate from the one that we have been given. We are not looking for... I just don't get the whole idea that Jesus being married makes a difference.
505-7850 1-800-730-2727. Try the email. Works fine. Server's up and running. KFUO at KFUO.org. Pastor Richard Moore, our guest, he serves at St. Martin's Lutheran Church in Winona, Minnesota. We'll be right back. The break, trust me, it's a great time to call in. We look forward to hearing from you. We'll be right back. Welcome. Welcome back to Ask the Pastor. It's Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. Pastor Richard Moore is our guest. He serves at St. Martin's Lutheran Church in Winona, Minnesota. I'm Roland Lettner, talking a little bit about Chick-fil-A. I guess, Pastor, you maybe heard that AP Religion Roundup story about what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think we've pretty well covered that. Shall we move on to perhaps other parts of the world and
sure,
the delightful things that are going
about
on there?
Yep.
How about New Jersey?
What about it?
What possibly could be going wrong in New Jersey, do you think?
Oh, let's not get started.
Here's the way a story begins. And now, I mean, you strike me as a man who values your right of free speech.
Uh-huh.
Especially in the context as granted by the Constitution of the United States. Now, here's something interesting. There are religions that promote turning the other cheek, even when mocked, but it appears Islam is not one of them. I think we can probably agree to that statement. According to one of the most prominent imams in North America, Islam never condones violence, but it also, under no uncertain circumstance, ever accepts speaking ill of Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. And he says, this imam, whose name is Muhammad Qahtani, says that this mockery of Muhammad is so grave that the United States needs to limit free speech because it's a national security threat to let people speak honestly about Islam.
It's not a national security threat to let people speak honestly or what their opinion is about Christianity or about Judaism or about Confucianism or about any of those other things, right?
Well,
that's his point.
His point
is because he believes this,
yeah.
That it makes sense for a firm Islamic believer to use violence in response to this affront. If we as Christians took that same position, we wouldn't have a Muslim problem in America.
Mm. The interesting thing is the way he has come to this conclusion, Pastor Moore, he says, Qahtani says he thinks that agitators who slander Islam, or more specifically Muhammad, incite violence. Not that the Islamic people have any tendency towards violence, and hence they pose a national security risk. Thus, he says, America should disregard its First Amendment and instead act in accordance with Sharia law for the ultimate good of society.
No.
Now,
the ultimate good of society would be better met if we, in fact, did not do that. and instead enforced, and you're going to love me saying this, so here he goes, ready?
Yeah.
The ultimate good for society would actually be for us to enforce Christianity.
I would agree with that.
It would actually be better for society. However, the society in which we live is based on, and the laws which we have is based on a freedom to be wrong. So we're going to allow for the Muslims and non-Christian believers to have their belief if they choose to.
Yeah.
But the fact that they become violent if someone disagrees with them does not mean that we are therefore going to take away the right of another person to say, I disagree with you, or that we do not believe what you believe.
So you're saying that Christianity is complementary to the governmental structure that we've established here?
I'm not sure I'm going to go there.
All right.
Okay.
Well, certainly not. It's not hostile to
it. In the governmental structure that we have to allow for there to be a discussion of religions other than our own.
All right.
And if, you know, you don't change the governmental structure to support your religious belief unless you are going to establish a theocracy.
Well,
we're going to establish a theocracy, from my very humble opinion, because, you know, I'm not very opinionated, you may have noticed, we might as well establish it based on Scripture and the true God, not a delusion.
I agree with you. Now, the reason I ask about the complementary nature of it is, here's what this fellow goes on to say in this article. One of the most revealing insights, the author writes, made by this controversial faith leader came when he juxtaposed American freedom with the type of freedom permitted under Sharia law. Muslims think of American freedoms that they are too much, he says. The freedom of the American people is so different from the Muslim freedoms. We believe freedom has limits and rules. Otherwise, we will get people into trouble. Freedom, according to Islam, must be in accordance to the Quran. There is the difference and the main reason for our conflict with the West.
Well, absolutely. But, you know, if we speak as Christians, we also believe that freedom has laws.
Yes.
Okay. Within our faith, I have the freedom. Freedom given by Christ, freedom from my sin, freedom from even the ceremonial law of the Old Testament. But that freedom is not license. You know, no. The freedoms we're talking about when we talk about our government are what allows me the freedom to proclaim the truth in spite of the fact that this imam doesn't know what the truth is.
Hmm. He has also an interesting bent on what Christian theology is. He goes on to say that not even Jesus or Moses, who Muslims revere as heroes, would dare be permitted to speak ill of Muhammad. But he does go on to say, at one point, Kitani says, it is essentially fine to mock Jesus or Moses, as American satire and various religious figures often do, but it is absolutely verboten to mock Muhammad.
Well, but I would disagree, okay? I think that the Lord, in fact, does speak against Muhammad when he tells us to have no other gods. I think that Moses did, quote, mock Muhammad when he declared all of the gods of Egypt and all of the gods of the world to be, that are not the triune God, to be false gods.
505-7850-1800-730-2727. David, thank you for calling. You're on with Pastor Moore. Go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. I must be getting older because I almost lose my train of thought.
I have that same caboose.
Join the club.
My gray matter, I don't know. My gray matter does matter. But a couple of points I just wanted to bring out. This thing about people wanting to make our Lord to be married, it seems like they want to bring him down to our level and just make him a man. Because if he was married, can you correct me on this if I'm wrong, wouldn't that mean that he must have, along the line, lusted after a woman? Because Scripture says he was tempted in all points, as we are, yet he never sinned. But if he was married, wouldn't he have had to?
Now, you know, you're drawing a conclusion, a presupposition there that I'm unwilling to support, and that is that all marriage is the result of sin. You just said, you know, if he was married, he must have lusted after a woman. Is that necessary, or is that just typical?
I think for a man, it's pretty typical.
But not necessary. Well, see, here's my point. Jesus was fully human, and you can't possibly bring him down to the level of humanity any more than he brought himself down to the level of humanity. I had a seminary professor once say, until you can imagine having to change Jesus' diaper, you don't actually understand his humanity, because he was fully human. So
right, yeah.
Becoming human is not bringing him down to our level. I think area where you're probably in the same, where I'd be in agreement in some way with you, is the notion that if he has a wife, then all of a sudden she can be his, quote, disciple. And no one's saying women can't be his disciple, but wouldn't Jesus' wife be the perfect first female pastor? Wouldn't Jesus' wife be above the men who were with him, like the apostles? Doesn't that make somehow the whole feminization of Christianity and the notion that the commands and restrictions God puts on the pastoral office have been, quote, man-made because, you know, Jesus' wife surely did these things?
Right. Okay.
That's where I think we're going.
Just one more point, as long as about the Islamic world, they seem to have pretty thin skin. I have heard that even Islamic scholars will admit the history of Muhammad is true, but they get awfully upset when you bring it up about him being a pedophile and taking, I think, his brother-in-law's wife and torturing him until he willingly gave his wife over to him. Beheading so many Jews, killing people. They even admit the history of Muhammad is true, but they get awful upset when you bring it up. But on the other hand, look at the National Endowment of the Arts, what they've done.
Well, are you referring to the Virgin Mary in dung and the piss Christ, as they were called?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Putting crucifix in a jar of urine and stuff like that. I mean, you don't see the Christian world, even though we don't like that, we're not out in the streets killing people and tearing down embassies and all that. And so,
if the Muslim approach is how we get our society, the American society, to take seriously our confession or take seriously the notion that they shouldn't be mocking our religion, then, you know, maybe that's where we went wrong. 50 years ago, we should have started burning down embassies.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm obviously not suggesting that, but to say because I am willing to be radical, because I am willing to take life, because I am willing to protest, you should therefore respect my God more than any other in this society, isn't really the motivation there. The reason people should be respecting the God of the Bible, of Scripture, more than any other God is because he has revealed himself to be our Savior, because he has demonstrated that he, in fact, is who he claims to be, and that he is living and active in his word, not that his followers are willing to go out and at the end of a sword force people to feign respect. Now, isn't that what Christians are continually being slammed for in the whole notion of the Crusades?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, as far as Islam, they have no savior. They don't have much to even look forward to. I just don't get their religion, but I feel sorry for those people. They're basically the victims of that religion, and a lot of Muslims are illiterate, but they get turned on by the crowd and rioting and killing people. So, you know, but
personally, I don't know why people become Muslim. It doesn't obviously make sense to me, because if it did, I would be one. I understand why people become Christian. There you find the love and grace and forgiveness of God. There you find a reconciliation that assures you of eternal life.
Yeah, Islam doesn't have anything to offer. What do they have to offer? Maybe you can answer that question. I don't think they offer anything.
From our perspective, we would say they do not. But what it does offer, and what people find comforting when you talk to people, is it offers a structure to your life, an absolute rule of right and wrong, a freedom from having to wrestle with the proper application of your understanding of religion. All, you know, the more dictatorial, the more legalistic an organization is, the less the members have of personal responsibility for determining how to proceed and how to live out their lives.
Okay. Well, hey, appreciate the time, and one more request: pray for my gray matter. Thank you.
I'm finding more and more of my gray matters on the outside of my head. Where did my youth go? Someone who has written extensively on this, I think, is probably one of the best reporting sources if you want to read about what's going on in Islamic lands right now, is a fellow named Raymond Ibrahim. I've interviewed him several times on the Studio A program I do on Saturdays. And he's got an article up today. Raymond Ibrahim, Ibrahim, the last name. Just put that into a search engine. It'll take you to his website. And this is just one little pull quote from his most recent op-ed that I wanted to read to you, Pastor Moore. There is only one question, referring to all the violence that's going on right now and the fact that so many are attributing it to this little YouTube film. He says, did those who made this movie break any law? He says, no, they did not. And so the matter should end there, and the media should move on, focusing on those who did not break any American laws, as a way to take the focus off those who murdered and initiated an act of war against the United States, is not only misleading, it validates and gives Islamic blasphemy laws precedence over American freedoms.
Amen.
I told you, he's one of the best reporters out there on these things.
But he's absolutely right. You know, in America, we don't have such a law. In some of these Islamic nations, they do. So block YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, the practical answer is far too easy when you can riot in the streets and accomplish greater political ends.
Well, you know, and I'm about to sound extreme again. If they want to riot in the streets in their own streets, that's fine. Go ahead and riot. But when you attack an American embassy, that's an act of war. Their nation needs to consider whether or not they want to go to war over a 3-minute YouTube.
505-7850-1800-730-2727. Brian, good morning. You are up next with Pastor Moore.
Hi. I was listening to Pastor Baker the other day on his show, and he was mentioning about how there's no salvation plan for evil angels, or the devil and, you know, the other evil angels. And I was considering, you know, how superior angels are to human beings in terms of their intellect. How could it be that they would revolt against God, or how are we to understand that, how they fell?
Well, I'm not sure that I would agree with your premise. I'm thinking that we will judge angels, not angels judge us. So I'm not sure they're superior to us. They are spiritual. They are spirit rather than flesh. And since we tend to think of spirit as flesh as a problem and spirit as superior, I understand that. But that was not the case when God created man. It was after the creation of man on the sixth day that he said it was very good. All of the rest of creation, including the angels, was to serve mankind. What the angels have going for them that we don't is that they have seen God spiritually and face to face, but they are, you know, by definition, an angel. Angelos means messenger. They were sent specifically, created specifically to carry the messages of God, the work of God in support of mankind. When they chose to reject him, to take on the notion that they could, you know, that this archangel Lucifer felt he could be God better than God, having been defeated in that, they are then confirmed in their either evilness or goodness. Angels no longer have the ability to choose to do good or evil. The evil angels are evil, period. They cannot choose repentance and be restored. And the good angels no longer are capable of sin. God took that away.
I see. See, I guess the problem I was having is when, as a human being, you see sin as always being something material that's kind of drawn to spiritually, and I was trying to figure out what the temptation of the angels was if it wasn't something material.
I think it was the same temptation that Eve had in the garden. You can be like God.
I see.
Okay.
Okay.
They wanted to be, you know, Lucifer wanted to be God, and the angels that followed him into that fray felt that they would be better off somehow, in more a greater position of power with Lucifer in that position. And this is not the case, and he obviously lost. But, you know, you said that sin is generally physical or motivated by physical.
Often, for human beings, yeah.
Yeah, but with human beings, often it's motivated by other things, too. We want we want a sense of power. We want our way. Not necessarily because it will get me more stuff, just because I want it my way.
But wouldn't it also be fair, Pastor, to say that sin is a condition of our being?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's why
we
sin.
We are born in sin. We always sin. You know, left to our own devices, you can guarantee that we will choose the wrong thing. But we're not left to our own devices. God has intervened, and he brings us salvation, and he brings us faith, and he dwells in us. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit through baptism, so we are no longer guided by our sin alone. We still struggle with sin in this lifetime, but we are already forgiven children of God who are victors over sin and death and Satan.
Does that help out, Brian?
Yeah, I think so. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. We appreciate hearing from you this morning. All right, let's see. We've got a full board here and very little time left. Let's see who's been waiting here the longest. It looks like it's Jim, and then we'll go to James, and then to Larry. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Roland and Pastor Moore.
Good morning, Jim.
Going back to Chick-fil-A, I had to be out of the car for about 20 minutes. So I missed out on some of that. But first of all, over the last 10 years, I less and less trust what I see in the secular news. And I do listen to WGN some because we have a son living in Chicago, and I kind of want to know what's going on. But I have owned franchises in my business life, and I'm thinking Chick-fil-A are franchises, or a lot of them are probably franchises. And I think they made it clear. And first of all, this all started with a Christian newsletter or news magazine or something, I believe, of the Baptist faith or persuasion, and then the secular media picked up on it. And I just think we're kind of picking at a fellow Christian brother and family here, and that really goes against my grain, especially being a businessman who's a Christian. And I just it could be the belief of that franchise in Chicago. I think you said it's in the Chicago area. You know, I don't think the I'm struggling now to remember the name of the founder and his family.
Kathy is the family.
Thank you. I don't think it's their belief. And Roland, I would not apologize one iota for what you did. I applaud what you did. And I just think I don't know. I when I see a thing like that in the paper, I just want to throw the paper in the trash and say, let me get somewhere where I can get the real story, you know. So anyway, it's just my opinion. But I really am concerned that so often as Christians, we tear at each other. And, you know, who knows what all took place here. And they did make it clear that not all their employees are Christian, and that they have had homosexuals working for them, and that they have homosexuals as customers, you know. So I don't see any fact lashing on the family's part in this whole thing. So well, anyway, that's just
The AP Religion Roundup did cover that story as well, and there has been a statement issued by the corporate office of Chick-fil-A affirming that what the story says is true.
Okay, and does that apply to all their franchises?
Yes,
or just that one in Chicago?
No, that's corporate-wide. This is the decision on the part of the corporation that they will no longer support groups like Family Research Council or any advocacy of traditional marriage groups any longer. As the statement said in the report, we'll leave all the policy decision up to the politicians and stay out of it.
Okay. Well, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, again, he was giving his testimony to a Christian newsletter or whatever, okay? And the secular picked up on it and just,
right,
you know, tried to destroy a good family and a good business.
Right, yeah. And apparently came close to achieving it. I get it, and I understand that, but my, you know, I'm back to my basic premise is, if I as an individual am going to state this is my position because I am a Christian, I as an individual don't change that position because of political pressure. And I realize that the political pressure in America is always, always against the Christian, always against the person of faith. I get it. But that's the world we live in. Nero wasn't real supportive of the Christians in Rome, but the Christians in Rome continued to speak the truth. We need to continue to speak the truth. That's all I'm suggesting.
Okay.
To back off that truth, because this is going to be a disaster. You know, I have a problem. Why is it that we are not pressuring the businesses that support homosexual marriage? Why are we not pressuring? You know, why is one way okay and the other way not? I have a problem with that. But being where I am and the world in which I live in and the community in which I serve, I will stand and take the position of Scripture. And if that means that something that I lose something in my life, so be it.
Yeah.
And that's where we'll have to leave it. Jim, thank you for the call. Pastor Moore, appreciate your time this morning. You did not get in trouble. You did perfectly fine. I love spending time with you.
Have a good day.
Thank you, my friend. All the best. Well, all right, Jim, James, Larry, call back tomorrow. We'll pick it up at that time. See you then. God bless.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.